Hello.
Hello, we're back.
We're back indeed. How
are
you doing?
To see you. Yeah, I'm really well, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm all right, yeah.
We've had a few really cool questions and we've sort of done our very best to answer the occasional one or the ones where we really felt like we could contribute. There's a really cool one we're going to answer in due course later on in this episode. But first and foremost, we'd like to share with you something very exciting we've been working on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Do you want to take the lead?
Oh, no, I don't. Not right now, because you were doing so well. You're honestly building up and building up. This is going to be great. It's going to be great. And then she hands the reins over to me and I go, what's my name? I can't speak. I've forgotten. Where do I live? I kind of, no, seriously, you keep riding that pony. No, that's the wrong, you know what I'm trying to say. You keep going, pressing ahead with what you were about to say, because I'm sure the delivery was going to be excellent.
Okay, so if you haven't heard it or seen it anywhere, Daniel and I, I'm looking at you. We've worked on something. We've worked on a program for linguists. So if you out there work in languages in any capacity, if you coach, if you are a language trainer, if you're a translator, a subtitler, a copywriter, come join us because this is going to be epic. So the name of the new venture, we've called it Lingo Tribe, just to get all the linguists together. And my mission is to have a group of at least a million linguists from all around the world, from any country we could possibly reach, driven by this mission that we make really, really good marketing, self-marketing accessible to the many.
Yes, beautifully. But I couldn't have put that into a clean sentence. My life depended on it. Yeah, I know. Wipe the dribble away. Well, I think. No, so, that was beautifully put.
Yeah, that's the mission. And we're going to start with our first cohort in April.
Yeah, which is already full.
It was full, I think, a day or two later. It went like that. We posted it only ever on LinkedIn. We didn't share it anywhere else, not on this podcast, not on Instagram and all the other wonderful platforms we're on. Just on LinkedIn to suss out the interest. Because we had this idea and we said, look, you know, there's so much out there, but it's so expensive.
Yes.
And without wanting to sound patronizing or condescending, but it's a matter of fact that not every country, economically speaking, has the same purchasing power.
Yes.
And therefore, not every person out there can have access to the same good stuff.
Agreed. Absolutely.
You need to do the talking now.
So, we've followed or observed a trend for some time now that so many budding linguists, or even seasoned linguists, are simply being priced out of the market for developing their presence online, for example, be it on LinkedIn or whichever channel they're looking to do. And they're being priced out of the opportunity to learn how to effectively present themselves and to tell a great story, that we decided that we owe it to, like we said, this budding Lingo Tribe that we've created, to give them the tools to then go and create a great presence for themselves and to create real emotional connection with the people consuming their content at a price that is accessible. Because, frankly, there are some providers out there who are great providers. They make great content. There's no denying it. But charging several thousand pounds or several thousand euros, it just renders the whole exercise completely inaccessible. And it's at a point where I feel that you just cannot justify those kind of prices for the material that's being offered to learn. So that's why we went about saying, hang on a sec, there's such a need there across the world. And that's already been reflected by the participants that we already have in the first cohort, because
they range from South America to the Western world to Asia.
Yes, yeah. Indonesia, wasn't it? We had got to lean into it. Course participant from Indonesia.
Yeah.
And so, what we've set out doing is creating something that essentially anyone in the world can access. And we have been very fortunate in our professional journey that we've learned from some great people. I've learned a hell of a lot from you. I've followed you in this particular discipline in terms of establishing myself online and going into using the likes of LinkedIn, for example, successfully, and following on from a post I put out there recently and the response I got to that post. I was quite shocked at how hard people are finding it to really establish a foothold on, say, LinkedIn, and to tell a great story and to get people to engage with them, that I thought there must be such a terrific need out there. But I believe that most people with that knowledge would rather just charge a very high price and keep it very exclusive. And that's not what we want to do. We want to make it thoroughly accessible, because why should you prevent people with great potential from fulfilling that potential simply because you're demanding a price that's extortionate, for want of a better word?
Yes. And, well, like you said, I'm losing my voice.
You are losing your voice all of a sudden. What's going on?
Making it accessible and really training people to reach their dream audience.
Yes.
And to be able to charge higher rates as well.
Yes, absolutely. So the bottom line is, the message I got from the most recent post, and I think I'll save you the speaking part from here on in, because I think you need to rest up. Are you okay? I think the message I got from it is that lots of people simply, through no fault of their own, do not know how to create and then manage and grow an effective online presence as a linguist. And we must remember that we will always need to communicate. I know that there's a lot of negativity out there in terms of what is the future of the language industry, be it translation, be it localization, be it proofreading, the role of AI. It's a never-ending story. But there will always be a need to communicate, bottom line. And so whatever the future brings, there will be a role for us, and it will, I firmly believe it will be a great role. But if you, as a newly qualified linguist, for example, or somebody who's just started in self-employment, who's struggling to land good clients, for example, case in point, there's a lovely lady and a professional who I rate very highly in France. Her story is one of, you know, very highly qualified, very talented, is really struggling to build client relationships. And it has absolutely nothing to do with any shortcoming on her part. She's extremely talented, but it's about getting the right story out there and getting it read and heard by the people who matter. And so that's what we will do with Lingo Tribe. Mm-hmm. And I personally am super excited about the first cohort.
So much.
And getting the ball rolling. When is the start date again for?
On the 15th of April.
15th of April.
For 8 weeks.
Fantastic. And so in that 8 week period from the 15th of April, Katie and I, we're going to be available week in, week out, working with you directly and as a group. Responding to any questions that you're going to have. We're going to be available on the chat. We'll be available through WhatsApp, we're looking at as well. And what we want to do is really make sure that after that 8 week period, you feel secure in your knowledge and your application of what it is we're going to show you to create a great presence for yourself and to tell a great story. And, you know, we all want to write our own reviews, but case in point, I'm relatively new to LinkedIn. And everything that I have implemented and that has performed extremely well, it's vastly attributable to you and your knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so I can say firsthand that if by going on this particular journey, you are in a very good position, or will be in a very good position at the end of the course, to succeed and to thrive, not just to survive, but to really thrive in the language industry. And that's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So
well done.
Is that okay? I always struggle on the fly to put my ideas together and keep them semi-coherent.
I'm going to rest now.
You're going to rest.
My voice is completely gone.
My days, yeah, absolutely. Right, well, in that case, it's down to me to say, it's been a blast. Thank you for listening and watching. And
the question.
Oh, we nearly forgot the whole bloody point. Yeah, what was the question?
This was the point, also the point. So what accent do you find really sexy in the UK or in Germany?
Shall I answer that one straight off?
Yeah.
Don't really have a sexy German accent that I enjoy. I just don't. There are a few I definitely don't like particularly, but I'm not going to mention that.
No, we're not going to hurt anyone's feelings.
Because I love everybody equally in Germany. In the UK, well, here I know we Katie's, go. But shall I go first? I'll show you my.
Yeah,
show
go yours. On,
so in the UK, and I feel like I'm desperately oversharing. In the UK, my favourite accent is the Mancunian accent.
In the Mancunian accent,
because you knew a girl like when you were a teenager and you really liked her and she was from Manchester. Yes, that's the truth.
Yeah, the Mancunian accent.
The Mancunian accent, which is why, so when we go anywhere, like we'd say we drive to Germany or we do a Europe tour, or even if we're just going to see some crusty old relative in the Midlands, Katie will put on Waze, you know, the navigational app thing, and you can choose your voiceover for the app, and she always puts it on Mancunian for me.
Pop a left here, yeah, pal.
That's
slightly more Scottish.
That's Glaswegian, yeah. Which is not my preferred accent.
No, sorry.
I don't want to piss anybody off. Definitely Mancunian because, yeah, I just quite like it. Anyway, enough on that.
Yeah, like I've got Christina Aguilera on just for you at the moment.
You have, actually.
Because you were so sick and tired of the zombie voice.
Because the zombie voice is like, for anybody, this again needs context. So you can have like an actual zombie like talk the directions to you while you're driving.
In 200 meters.
It takes for fucking ever, which by that time. Yes. So I was like,
and
no,
then
I'll
you
have
missed
Christina,
the exit.
Exactly. So I'll have Christina Aguilera instead because,
yeah.
Well, I grew up with Christina Aguilera. So
who didn't?
Special part of my, well, most of the
of
boys
the
these days.
Millennials.
Millennial. Just a millennial. What can I say? What about you? Well, I can answer that, but no, I'm going to let you answer. Go on.
Well, I think, Newcastle, I like a Geordie accent.
Yeah.
But Yorkshire.
Yorkshire.
I love a Yorkshire accent. We've got a gamekeeper, shout out to Rob, where
who's
we live.
Never, ever, 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 ever going to hear this.
No, because he's the most analog person in the world.
Doesn't own a mobile phone.
No.
Doesn't own a bank
but,
card.
I love the Yorkshire accent, I have to say. Bit partial. But it doesn't take long for me to absorb any accent.
It's
like
true.
Whenever we go to Wales,
yes.
Like give me 3.5 hours,
yeah,
and true. I start sing-songing in Welsh.
Or when you start talking to our local farmer Rob Vernicum, you take on a real Dorset twang all of a sudden, which is absolutely hilarious.
Dorsets. Yeah, I love accents, and I love. Well, we always play this game whenever we go on holiday. Like, where are those people from? Like, guessing the language.
Mm.
And if they speak a language we speak,
yeah.
Then guessing the region they're from.
Yes. We've made so many
friends
doing that.
Which is a dangerous game, because then I'm on the on the receiving end of this dangerous game every day, every week,
yeah.
When people go, hang on, so you're South African, your husband's German, isn't he?
It's so for every time.
Yesterday at church.
Yeah, you can bet the mortgage on that people think I'm German and you're South African.
Yeah,
it's
or
crazy.
People go, no, not South African, Australian. No, I've got you now. You're a Kiwi. You're from New Zealand. Okay. Okay. At least they're English speaking countries.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing too badly.
That's true.
But it's just not a language that comes naturally to me. I'd much rather be speaking Spanish all day.
True. Yeah.
I find sometimes you just get, you have to get your whole face around certain words in English, and Spanish is just,
gotta wrap that face around.
Anyway, so yeah. Knees must and all.
Magnificent. I think we've covered a lot of bases, so we've done very well.
I agree. So my voice is back a little bit, just in time to say.
Just a wobble.
Just a little wobble. Maybe just a wobble for you to step up and
lead for a change. Step out the shadows, Daniel. Anyway.
If you didn't get the reference about what's my name, that here's something you must watch.
Yes.
Fawlty Towers. And it's It's very dated. It's from the 70s, John Cleese.
Yeah.
But Gourmet Night, this particular episode is fantastic. You honestly watch it on YouTube or find it on Prime or Netflix.
Yeah.
We're not, being paid for this, but it's fantastic.
It is
quintessentially British.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It endures.
Awesome.
All right.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.